President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, on this July the 1st, 2008, on the West Coast, and now already July the 2nd, on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. So nice to have you with us this second day of the week. Had a great show yesterday, the last day of June, with Win Free. A very, very interesting show, and you're going to want to check out the archives if you missed that show. You can do that by subscribing for a year. It's a very, very small fee to do so, and you can download all the archives on bbsradio.com for a whole year, so it's a really good deal. And help us defray the bandwidth costs. Now, you may notice some changes as you go on the BBS Radio website into the archives. We're getting archives caught up and logged with descriptions so that you can see who is on a particular night, and just to make it a bit more convenient for you. And we're going to be even elaborating further on that. Of course, you can listen to archives as they get posted up on my website, directlightproductions.com. Just go to Evident Footprints on my webpage, and I have a whole archive index. You click on the title that you want to listen to, and you can actually read a little bit about a particular guest. The player is right there for the show, or you can also go to the podcast under iTunes. When you click the subscribe button, it takes you there. I have had some people ask me how to do this. Basically, if you have iTunes installed in your computer, and it doesn't matter if it's a Mac or a PC, you will be directed to the Apple iTunes Store. Now, that doesn't mean you have to pay for those archives there. It's a little bit more of a compressed quality then what you get on BBS Radio. That's for saving space and saving memory. However, I enhance them a little bit as much as I can, and they're free, and you can download the whole kit and caboodle if you choose to and listen to them at your leisure. You do have to press the Get button when the archives load. So that little instruction is for all the people that have been asking how to do that. It's a really cool way to do it. The shows will stay on your hard drive, and or you can copy them to a disk, and they stay within iTunes and keep a nice order just like you download them. Great way to do that. Quick news message. I'm finding this very interesting now. As many of you know, I have been writing a series called The Three Stooges Go to Washington, which has been published in the Idaho Observer over the past couple of months. And we published the conclusion, part two, of the McCain saga. And, of course, none of this is hitting the mainstream media, but I basically proved that not only is John McCain probably not a U.S. citizen, neither are his relatives, and shouldn't be running for president of the United States. He should be disqualified from running. And so I drive that point home again tonight, and I'd like to add some information. Now, in a couple of weeks, the Barack Obama portion, which will be the Three Stooges Go to Washington Part 3, will be published in the Idaho Observer. And this is some independent research I'd like to share with you right now from Thomas Sol Rose and Milton Friedman, senior fellows at the Hoover Institution, Stanford University in Stanford, California. I was just given a copy of this today, and I find it very interesting because it makes sense in line with the research I've done. Of course, my research has not been published, but we're going to dispel some of the myths about Barack Obama, just like we did with John McCain. This is a quote, and it's got a title to it, so I'll read the title that came with it as I got it. Can Obama legally be U.S. president? Let's see the birth certificate. We are a nation of laws. Okay, now it goes on to say, it seems that Barack Obama is not qualified to be president, after all, for the following reason. Barack Obama is not legally a U.S. natural-born citizen according to the law on the books at the time of his birth, which falls between December 24, 1952 to November 13, 1986. Presidential office requires a natural-born citizen if the child was not born to two U.S. citizen parents, which, of course, is what exempts John McCain, though he was born in the Panama Canal. Now, I'd like to interrupt and say that there is no proof he was born in the Panama Canal, and I proved that his parents and his grandparents were not Americans. So that is in dispute with these two gentlemen's assertion. That said, let's go on. U.S. law very clearly stipulates if only one parent with a U.S. citizen at the time of your birth, that parent must have resided in the United States for at least 10 years, at least five of which had to be after the age of 16. Barack Obama's father was not a U.S. citizen, and Obama's mother was only 18 when Obama was born. This means that though she had been a U.S. citizen for 10 years, or a citizen perhaps because of Hawaii being a territory, the mother fails the test for being so for at least 5 years prior to Barack Obama's birth, but after age 16. It doesn't matter after. In essence, she was not old enough to qualify her son for automatic U.S. citizenship. At most, there were only 2 years elapsed since his mother turned 16 at the time of Barack Obama's birth, when she was 18 in Hawaii. His mother would have needed to have been 16 plus 5 equals 21 years old at the time of Barack Obama's birth for him to have been a natural-born citizen. As aforementioned, she was a young college student at the time and was not. Barack Obama was already 3 years old at that time. His mother would have needed to have waited to have him as the only U.S. citizen parent. Obama instead should have been naturalized, but even then, that would still disqualify him from holding the office. Naturalized citizens are ineligible to hold the office of president. Though Barack Obama was sent back to Hawaii at age 10, all the other info does not matter because his mother is the one who needed to have been a U.S. citizen for 10 years prior to his birth on August 4, 1961, with five of those years being after age 16. Further, Obama may have had to have remained in the country for some time to protect any citizenship he would have had rather than living in Indonesia. Now, you can see why Obama's aides stopped his speech about how we technically have more than 50 states because it would have led to this discovery. This is very clear-cut and a blaring violation of U.S. election law. I think the governor of California would be very interested in knowing this. If Obama were elected president without being a natural-born U.S. citizen, it would set precedents. Stay tuned to your TV sets, because I suspect some of this information will be leaking through over the next several days. And again, this is from Thomas Rose and Milton Friedman, senior fellows at the Hoover Institute, Stanford University. Now, as I mentioned, I disagree with the first statement they made about John McCain, because there is no record of John McCain having been born in Panama, other than the feel-good biographies that have been published. In fact, McCain is not in the live birth record from Panama Canal for the year 1936, which is in the National Archives, And in addition to that, the so-called Pocosolo Naval Hospital he claims he was born at was not built until after 5 years after his so-called birthday. You can't be born in a place that doesn't exist. Simple as that. So it will be interesting, of course, to see how this story I just read pans out, especially when my research on Obama comes out. And there are some bombshells in that, I can guarantee you. So much for the news. With that, I would like to bring a new guest onto Evident Footprints. This is her first time with us, although she has been on many other radio shows. She's written a book called The Messenger. This book is actually able to be found on my website, again, at directlightproductions.com. If you click on books, you can see a link there to order the book from her website, and we'll give her an opportunity to talk about both the book and her website and her experience. I'm sure you're going to find this very riveting, a very riveting testimonial about health and about the miracle of healing, and as well as the information that she's going to bring forward. And with that, I would like to invite to Evident Footprints tonight on bbsradio.com our special guest, Linda Emanuel. Linda, good evening. How are you?
Hi, Don. Hi, Don. Thank you for having me on.
It's my pleasure.
Can you hear me?
And I'm sure. Yes,
oh,
I can.
Okay.
Okay. Where do we start here? Okay. You wrote a book, but I think it's probably going to do your story justice if you get into the circumstances that propelled you into writing this book.
The circumstances, you mean God-driven, or when I got cured, or tell me
a
little
start,
bit
start from start from the problems that you were having. I think that would be a good place, so people know, you
okay.
know your story.
Okay. Okay, in 2001, in the fall, I had a trauma. And within 1 to 2 weeks, I was experiencing excruciating pain in my joints. And by October 1st, a couple weeks later, I was 100% disabled with lupus, bipolar depression, fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, and later on, Crohn's disease. And I had to go on 100% disability. I could not work. I was so chronically fatigued, I could not walk 10 feet. And I experienced physical depression like you wouldn't believe. And it is such a horrible physical depression that you want to take your own life. And
okay,
I never gave up hope. Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to ask a quick question here.
Sure.
In you mentioned a trauma. Is it something you're comfortable in sharing with the audience, or should we just leave it at that?
Oh, no, I'll share it. I had an emotional trauma. I caused myself to have an emotional trauma over a man, and anybody could, later on we discuss why I got, how I got sick. A trauma usually is the first of what happens when you get sick. A trauma causes your body to become acidic pH, and organisms thrive in an acidic pH. So many people who have a trauma, whether it be in a car accident, a loss of a job, an emotional trauma like I had, or a divorce, or a fall off of a chair, or a horse, or a car accident, it's all a trauma. Your body becomes acidic, and if the environment is right, organisms wake up, and you get
okay.
you can get sick.
So another type of trauma might be like the one that Barack Obama might be having, because I read this little piece about his possible ineligibility.
Right,
okay.
That could be a trauma.
Yes.
I'm sure
okay.
of it. Okay, so in the year 2002, I was totally bedridden, in a wheelchair, on a walker, nerve and muscle damage, lesions in my brain, cysts, terrible, terrible pain, physical depression. But I'm God-driven, and I wouldn't stop believing that something bad would turn into something good. At the time, I didn't know what it was, but I wouldn't give up hope. And then to make a little bit shorter story, on February 28, 2003, a friend of mine found it on the Internet what was causing all my diseases, and it's an organism called Mycoplasma fermentans, and I believe you're familiar with that.
Yes.
Correct?
Now, yes, not that I want to dwell on the macabre, but I think it might be of some service or some value to the listeners out there that are saying to themselves, how can someone come down with so many different afflictions all at the same time, and are all these related? So if it's okay with you, if you feel comfortable, because,
sure.
You know, we're not pressed
sure.
for time. We can
okay.
always invite you back to another show to cover more of this. I want to get into this issue of these afflictions, we'll call them, okay? Because your trauma must have been really, really crushing to your psyche, and that you put your guard down and maybe suffered some low self-esteem or just were so crushed. And I don't mean
broken
to put words
heart.
In your mouth. But I think
heart.
Maybe, yeah, a broken heart certainly could do that, because you might have felt that this person, without divulging, you know, the particulars, this person meant a lot to you, and you could see a future in whatever capacity with this person. And
right.
so you had your heart broken, your dreams were shattered, and it makes one feel low. It makes one feel worthless. It really brings you down, okay? So
you feel violated. You feel
yeah.
violated that you've
yeah.
given your love to somebody and they've just stomped on your heart and they had no feelings for you whatsoever, while you had the opposite, you know. Well, it happens, you know, but if I can also elaborate, things, you know, one of the things I've learned, being metaphysical, spiritual, whatever, there's always a reason, and sometimes somebody in spirit makes an agreement with you to go through this to cause something good to happen. So I never hated that person. Later on, when I realized why I had to get sick so I could help people get well, I forgave him a long, long time ago. I don't have any bitterness for that person because he agreed to do this with me. I call it a soul contract, a soul plan, whatever. And I don't hate him for that, because he caused such a good thing to happen. He was part of the plan of me getting well and totally cured, so I could go out and tell the world, hey, there's a treatment for all these diseases, including Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, AIDS, etc. You know, there's no reason to die of these diseases.
So that's what
there
we call a blessing in disguise. Now, I'm not
right.
implying that you should give this gentleman's name and number out and email address,
no.
nothing like that. We're not after vengeance here. In fact, you're looking at it from the highest way a person could, and that's from the spiritual dimension.
That's right. I don't condone what he did, but I don't hate him spiritually. I don't want anything to do with him, and in fact, when you read my book, I had a chance, closure after the incident happened. I hadn't seen him for, I believe, 3 or 4 years, never heard from him again after the trauma, and I had a chance to meet him again, and I didn't have any hate for him, and the book of that person was finally closed. I had some closure, and I had no regrets what happened, because it was meant to be. I don't believe in any coincidences.
Yeah. So, in essence, your healing then occurred not just on a physiological level or on a mental level, but even spiritually. I mean, in the heart.
Right,
so
right. I was always, I turned my life over to God, which meant serving people back in the year 2000, and I was told that I would do great things, and I didn't understand what at the time. And I had a reading with a psychic, and she told me that if I knew what was going to happen to me, I couldn't handle it. And that was a whole year before I had the trauma. So everything had to take place for that all to happen. So they knew, Spirit knew, that this was all going to happen before it did.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-boggling, well, but I don't know how they know.
Yeah, I mentioned to you, you know, while I was in the process of reading your book, that I understood exactly what you were saying, that I had been through some adverse health situations, and of the gravest kind, by the way. So the metaphysical experiences that I had in the spiritual were confirmation that that this was something that I had agreed to. Now, that's the hard part for people to deal with, because they say, who in their right mind would agree to something like that? Yet, this is not a mental process that comes out of the third dimension. It comes from a higher place. And when you agree to that, you are intending to experience something, to learn, and to share it with others so that you can lift them up, so you can help them, so you can extend love to other people and show people that there are ways that we can help each other despite the ways of the world, right?
Right. Many people can turn something bad into something good if they can get through the pain and the anger, and they can help many people by their experience, because what greater credibility than to have to go through something, because then you can relate to how people feel, and people consider you're credible because you've been through it. You can empathize with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now...
And I did. I experienced the bipolar depression, and I wanted to die. I would not have taken my life, but it was horrible. You know,
yeah,
what people are going through.
For the purpose, Linda, of telling this story now you kind of glossed through all these afflictions, and I'd like you to sort of wind the clock back and describe the first, you know, I'm not trying to make you relive this. This is more about communicating this to the listening audience. The first problem you had, okay, you had heartbreak. And how long would you say from the moment of this trauma that you described, would you say that you started noticing something was not right, or something was happening to you, at least physically?
In about a week.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Now, and that feeling or that condition was?
It was the physical pain, chronic fatigue, and I started getting granulomas under my armpit, which meant infection. And that's really funny, because when I went to the doctor and I asked the doctor, two doctors, by the way, what in the heck is causing all these horrible boils under my armpit, and one said ingrown hair and the other said change deodorant. Well, of course, that is a symptom of a mycoplasma infection, I learned later, but they didn't know anything about it. Most doctors, if you go to your doctor, a regular doctor, and start talking about mycoplasma, they might want to put you in a straitjacket or put you on Zyprexa
yes,
or antidepressant.
Now, I'm glad I asked you that question, because that brings up the issue of how some doctors are. Doctors don't always follow up with their continuing education, keeping up with diseases and conditions that could be of a psychosomatic nature, or could be a psychosomatic trigger for allowing these mycoplasma entities to start breeding and producing all these other problems, and you're not curing the initial cause of what brought your immune system down. You see, at the point of your shock, you suffered a shock to your whole system, even your immune system, in a sense. And,
right.
And part of that might have been psychological, you know, mental, because you're not happy.
Yeah.
When you're not happy, you're not whole, and so the body is open to attack, right?
Well, I believe, and this could—I could be wrong here. I believe Spirit kind of helped helped me with the trauma, where I'm really in tune with the universe, and I believe under normal other situation, the words the person said to me weren't horrible. Like, if I told you the words that he said, most people would say, oh, that's not that bad. Why did you experience it so bad? But I believe kind of spirit kind of pushed me into it, made me feel a little bit more, traumatic, But mm-hmm. I'm not mad at all. I have no regrets what I've gone through. Even when I was sick and my sister, who is an RN, was telling my family, I was wasting away. I could no longer eat. I was laying in bed in so much pain I couldn't move. And she told my family that we got to prepare for her death because I was so sick and my feet were so swollen and they had neuropathy and I couldn't wear shoes and my hands were like lobster claws. I could not open a doorknob. I could not turn a doorknob or button a button. And during that time, I even thanked God for whatever I was going through, that I had to go through this, and I knew there would be something good happen out of this, but I had no idea what. Mm-hmm. But I knew I would come through it, even though I could have died.
So, in essence, what you're saying, you could have cursed the whole situation, and in essence, you're not really honoring its purpose. You would have never have arrived where you did. Now, okay, so now you start seeing that your health is going down, you're losing energy, you're having these boils underneath your arms. The doctors are misadvising you as to what the cause is. I mean, they're looking at it superficially, right? They're looking on the outside, and they're saying, well, it has to be this or... I'm sorry, go ahead.
The regular doctors believe that the immune system is attacking the body, and they want to prescribe horrible steroids, which I went on at first, which masked the symptoms. But later on, I don't know how many months later, I decided that I didn't want to be on chemo or methotrexate or steroids. And I do not recommend that your listeners, if they're on medication, to stop their medication like I did, because I could have died. But I stopped the medication. I weaned myself off of the steroids. I was on huge dose of steroids. And then that's when the monster came out, all the damage that was going on and all the immune system, the inflammation, but I don't recommend people going off their medicine just by my advice. I'm not going to advise anybody to do that because it's dangerous, but I was determined that I wasn't going to take the medicine, that I would try to heal myself, and I've kind of left off an important part. There's a gentleman by the name of Dave. He's a psychic, and he's sort of like an Edgar Casey, and he's really important in my story. When I first got sick, he told me that I had a virus attacking my body, and I never stopped believing in that. And at the point where I was really sick, he's an herbal vitamin person, and he sent me vitamins, and I started building my immune system back where I wasn't cured, but I at least could fight back this organism, which he called the stealth virus, but I was still really ill. And I should go on with the story. Let me tell you, the organism Mycoplasma fermentans, if people go to my website, www.lindaemanuel.com, they can read all the research and all the diseases that this organism causes. And there is an alternative medical treatment that can kill the organism, which I went through. But I can, on later shows or this show, I could also explain why people are having chronic fatigue, why they can't sleep, why they're so depressed, why their body temperature is, they're so cold or so hot, why they've lost their libido, etc. I'm a why person, and I wanted to know why I was experiencing this. And I learned. I learned by reading all the research that's out there on this organism.
Mm-hmm. This is why I'm asking you to sort of slow down and let's cover this so that those people out there that might be experiencing one or more of these symptoms can look at this without the fear and, you know, in other words, we're walking. We're not going to fly or jump on a train and you know, high-speed train here. We're going to sort of lead everybody by the hand. Now, one thing I wanted to point out, Linda, we hear things about, let's say, like herpes. Or herpes, there are various kinds of herpes, or various stages of herpes, and someone can contract herpes in a variety of ways. It's not necessarily through sexual intercourse. It might be through kissing or through coming into contact with someone who has active herpes, and it's a disease that can remain dormant for years in a person, and then all of a sudden when they become, well, you use the word traumatized, they could be traumatized or become nervous, which again moves their body into an acidic state, and then they become susceptible to being attacked by whatever that virus is. In that case, herpes comes and goes, and we're told that there is no cure for herpes. Yet there are several homeopathic practitioners that say that there are. And so you experiencing this and not really knowing about it. See, I want to take you, or I want you to take us to how you got there rather than just jump there, oh, here's the cure. Okay?
That's good.
I want people to be able to personalize their particular situation. In other words, okay, you had all these problems. You were, your sister was saying, you know, everyone in your family should, you know, prepare for your funeral. I hope you didn't ask her for for a reading herself, but I'm sort of making a joke there because it turned out okay.
Sure.
But what I'm saying is how it looks to one person and what goes on inside you, and I know this again from personal experience. You may look like you're dying to everyone around you, and yet the inner voice says, no, you're going to make it through this. This is something, this is a soul contract. You agreed to do this, and you just know inside. I know that feeling myself, and I know that you know that feeling. I heard that in your voice the first time we talked. I definitely see that in your book, and I hear that tonight, that you have this confidence, this joy, this exuberance about having found this. Now, so we want to sort of move along slowly, slow it down just a little bit so that the listeners can understand how it is now that you came, you know, to the people that were going to eventually help you, okay?
Okay, well, if you read my book, you know I do the law of attraction. I call it the power of intent. And I've been doing this since the year 2000, actually January of 2001. And the more I do it, the more things, and I always get what I ask for, never have, everything comes to me. And on February 28th, 2003, a friend of mine found it on the internet about the organism, and then I realized why I got sick. But there was really no surefire cure. So I was still sick the year of 2003, but in the year 2004, I was ready. I was a little bit better, and I was ready to go out and help people. So I said to the universe, or God, I said, okay, if you want me to go out and help people, find me the cure. Well, if you know the law of attraction, you can't really sit in a closet. You have to sometimes take action. And I found a book with some resources in it on the internet, and I started calling alternative doctors all around the country. And in actuality, I was looking for a tetracycline IV, which could inhibit mycoplasma. And by the way, mycoplasma is a cell wall deficient bacteria that's in a membrane. It's a DNA strand of a bacteria. And tetracycline attaches to it and inhibits it from replicating. And I went through the whole list, and the last name on the list was an alternative medical doctor, a real doctor, in Birmingham, Alabama, and I probably shouldn't say his name, but, you know, I haven't got permission to do that, but we called him up, and my boyfriend at the time said, let me talk to him. He had a medical degree, and he didn't think I knew how to talk, so he told the doctor what I was experiencing, lupus, bipolar depression, Crohn's, fibromyalgia, etc. And the doctor kind of got cocky, and he said, I've cured AIDS, I've cured chronic fatigue, and I've cured diabetes. Well, I knew that all these diseases were caused by mycoplasma from my research, from reading the research. So I believed he could cure me. And do you want me to tell the name of the treatment? Is called mild silver protein. And we went down there that weekend to Birmingham, Alabama. And on a Saturday and a Monday, I received 2 half-strength IVs of mild silver protein. And I went to my doctor the next week. And I felt immediately relief, and the pain went away. And I went to the doctor, and the blood test results came back the next, that same week, negative for lupus.
Okay, that's pretty miraculous. I'm sure you saw that yourself.
Oh, my gosh, and I felt pretty good. But I have to say this. I was so ravaged by this organism. I was crippled, and, you know, just because I got the treatment doesn't mean my body went back to being the way it was before I got sick. I've had to, for the last 4 years, healed. I had nerve and muscle damage. I had big ganglion cysts on my wrist. I couldn't make a fist. I still can't straighten out my elbow 100%. It's probably about 90% I can straighten it out. My knees are in pretty good shape now. I was ravaged. So just because you get the treatment doesn't mean that your body, but the body can heal, but it might take a little time. And people like who have Alzheimer's, this is caused by Mycoplasma fermentan. If they have all that brain damage, the treatment will not reverse brain damage. And I call ADD, ADHD, a soft version of Alzheimer's in young people.
Now, while you're speaking, what's coming through is the question, or I guess I should ask the question. When you started noticing that the symptoms were disappearing and you started feeling better, even with the future recuperation that you were going to have to go through to regain all of your motor function, what was the mood of your spirit? What were you thinking, and what were you feeling? And in other words, did you say, okay, I'm going to turn this around now? Or did you look at this as just a manifestation of the law of attraction? In other words, you put your intention on this. Were you elated? Were you still concerned? I'm just trying to evoke, you know, how you felt.
Well, that's good, because I also found out at the same time that my rheumatoid arthritis was caused by human parvo B19 virus, and that took several more treatments to get rid of that. And by the way, rheumatoid arthritis can be caused by 3 different types of organisms. One's a virus, one's a bacterial, and the other's mycoplasma. And I had viral RA, which is nasty. Parvo B19 has nothing to do with the dogs. It's a human virus that's horrible. And mild silver protein is not effective, or not a good treatment for viruses. Viruses are protein-coated, whereas a mycoplasma has a membrane, and the silver penetrates the membrane, changes the mycoplasma metabolic structure and metabolism, kills it dead. And by the way, AIDS is not a true virus. AIDS is a mycoplasma body with the Vicina virus DNA, or, you know, it's not a true virus as far as structure. So that's why AIDS is, that's why the doctor could state AIDS, what he's cured people with AIDS. And I'd like to explain what cure means. If I had risky behavior and I had the lifestyle I had before I got sick, I could get reinfected. So this mild silver protein is not an immunization or a vaccination. I could get sick again. And there's a scientist working for Merck. He made a statement many years ago that there's not one single person on the face of the earth that is not infected with mycoplasma. Many people are more infected, but no, there's not one person without mycoplasma in their body.
Okay, now I wanted to go back to, after this treatment, you discovered that you still had this parvo that had to be treated. Now, I wanted to revisit your feelings as this was happening, because this is important to the listeners who are out there. Okay, they may want to seek a treatment like this. What are they going to expect? I mean, did you immediately change your mood? That's what I was trying to ask you. What were your feelings like?
Oh my gosh! Immediately. The mycoplasma needs cholesterol. So where is the best place to find cholesterol? It needs cholesterol to replicate. The best place to find cholesterol is your endocrine system, where you make hormones. And that's why people are going through the physical depression. They can't sleep. They lose their libido. They're constantly cold or they're depressed. They're lacking hormones because the mycoplasma in their body is uptaking their cholesterol.
I'm asking the question the right way. For some reason, you're not getting what I'm trying to get
at.
Well,
okay, I am. Excuse me. Okay, I felt immediate relief. There was not that much pain anymore. I still had a lot of joint damage. I had to repair myself. I had to, I had to just heal. My body had been ravaged, but I was elated. I had no more depression. I felt great. And when you get this treatment of mild silver protein, what you go through about 2 hours after the treatment, you go through what they call the Herxheimer effect. And that's when you have the flu, like a cold or just a plain old flu, and your body is killing off the organisms throw off a toxin when mm-hmm. they die. And that's the Herxheimer effect. Is the body's reaction to that toxin. So when the mycoplasma dies in the body, throws off a toxin, and you go through pretty strong chills and fever, you might have a headache, a stuffy nose, you might empty your contents of your stomach, and then that only lasts for about 3 to 4 hours. And then after that's over, you feel absolutely great. You feel so wonderful. Oh, my gosh, because I was so sick before. And, in fact, after the first half-strength treatment, I was in a hotel room, and I was able to sit up in bed and put my leg up on the bed. And that sounds kind of silly, but we're talking, I couldn't even put my hands over my head. I couldn't hardly open my mouth but about an inch. I couldn't turn my head. I was a wreck. I was just really, really sick. And
okay,
then after
now,
that first treatment, I was pretty good.
Okay,
pretty,
now you said you were elated. I'm still trying to get at this. Did you begin changing
you
your thinking?
Like pulling teeth.
Did you begin changing your thinking, or did you say to yourself, you know, I can see myself licking this. I can see myself overcoming this. No matter, I'm trying to evoke your thought patterns in conjunction with your feeling.
Well, I knew I was cured, and I went around and wanted to scream it from the rooftops, tell people about this, but not very many people took me seriously. They looked at me like I was crazy, that here I got cured of lupus and bipolar depression, and I knew I was trying to help people there, trying to help people, but they really didn't take me serious. But I was happy. It was part of my soul contract, I believe, to help people. And I live day to day. I mean, I try to live in the present moment.
Okay.
And I didn't know what
now
the next day
that's
would
an important
to.
Thing that you said when you said that they looked at you like you were crazy. Why do you
that's
think
right.
people think someone who gets healed is crazy? What is it in our belief system? Do you think?
Oh, I really don't know why people do. Part of it was I owed it to God or I praised God about it, and a lot of people don't believe in spirituality or the metaphysical side of the world. They're in their box. They can't think out of the box, you know, and here I was manifesting and I'd have stories to tell and they would just look at me like, oh my gosh, you know, I've had a lot of unusual experiences throughout the last 7 years that are unbelievable to some people, but I've gone through them, and I guess people just, they say they believe in God, but they really have kind of a doubt, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I ask you that question is has much to do with many of the things I talk about, because we're told things are a certain way, and we accept those things that way. In other words, that's belief, okay? And now what you're
right.
talking about is a knowledge that you've gained from going through the experience. So your experience belies the belief system. Even what the doctors were telling you. I mean, my goodness, if they told you to change your lipstick, does it matter if they told you to change your deodorant or your lipstick or your shoes? I don't think so. I think those are cop-outs. And those are the types of doctors that really should be called to task on misdiagnosing a problem. It doesn't just happen to you. It happens to a lot of people. And for many other types of diseases or medical problems, we'll say. They may not be diseases. They may be related to diet, or they may be related to some working condition and some toxicity that they're exposed to where they work. And
right.
I'll give you an example. And this will make sense to some people, because a lot of women have had this experience. I know of a particular place where they do what they call the dipping of transformers. When they're making power transformers, they put them through a bath which coats them with this resin, and it sort of holds all the coils together and gives it a smooth finish on the outer edge. But it's extremely toxic, and this particular place that was making these things didn't have the proper ventilation. They had the EPA come in there and do a regular inspection, and they passed the inspection. And there were four women within a six-month period that worked there that had miscarriages. Now, I couldn't think of any other reason from looking at this, and I was investigating it from the outside, because I knew one of the women who had lost a baby, and she felt it was this toxicity that you could smell. It was in the air, and she would come home, and she said her clothes smelled like it. It wasn't just something that her hands or her clothes might touch. She felt she was breathing it in, and she felt it was why she lost a child. Now, these types of cover-ups are going on all along and all the time, and doctors aren't really investigating what the cause of some of these things could be. And it was amazing how this company tried to cover everything up. Now, they probably suffered greatly, not just in their personnel, but in their business over time. And, you know, those things have a way of working themselves out. But we become victims of our ignorance. And when we put our hands in that of a doctor or anyone in the medical profession who really doesn't know the answer, or they haven't done their homework in your particular case, they haven't conducted the proper tests to make an accurate diagnosis of your issue. And the first thing they want to do is prescribe a medicine. I use the word medicine with reticence because they're not always medicines. They're toxins. Further toxify the body. I just want to point that out that, you know, you're dealing with this healing thing and you have to trust the doctor. Now, you're very fortunate, but you created your fortune through your intention. That's where your intention comes in. Your higher self, your spiritual self, listened and created the situation that led you to the doctor that could help you. And that's the point we're trying to make here. Now, your attitude played every part in that. If you would have remained the victim throughout this experience, you would be dependent upon everyone else. And we are a society of victims. We victimize ourselves if no one else will. We come up with ways to do it, in a sense, and I'm not judging you. In a sense, that's part of what your experience was, wasn't it?
Well, I feel like I had... Most people, when they go through something, it's for a reason to experience it. Otherwise, I look at Oprah Winfrey, what happened to her when she was really young. If that wouldn't have happened to her, she wouldn't have taken up the sword and did what she did. You know, you can listen to somebody who has MS or Parkinson's or lupus. You don't know what they're feeling, and you don't really take it. Most people that I talked to after I got well, they weren't sick. So they weren't even interested in how they could get sick. They weren't interested because they weren't experiencing it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through that. So I became interested in it. I know how people, what they're going through. I experienced it, a mycoplasma infection. And it's not a picnic.
Yes, no, I'm not in any way trying to belittle, you know, your experience.
Sure.
You see, when
you have it and then you get well, you want to help people who are going through it. Especially my heart goes out to young people. Like on MySpace alone, there are over 700 bipolar depression groups of young people. That's how serious this is, and that's one of the decisions. God gave me an escape clause in 2005, I believe, in August. I was frightened that to go out to the world and talk about this. The pharmaceuticals, you know the story about Rife and others, they kill people to shut them up, and I was really frightened, and I believe God was giving me an escape clause. And then one of my friend's daughters had depression. She had a job. She lived in Ohio. She had a car. She was gorgeous. She went to a pawn shop one night and traded in some CDs, bought a shotgun, and blew her brains out. And that was the deciding point for me. I said, you know, this is one of many lives. I came down here to do what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to go back home with my tail between my legs. I'm going to do it no matter what it takes. And I'm just going to trust God that everything will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved forward.
Now that's the first I heard you mention you had a tail. I wasn't aware.
Well, it's got a little pitchfork on the back of it, or whatever, a little point. And I got horns, too.
I have to get a joke in every once in a while.
That's okay. That's fine. I love to laugh, so no problem.
Okay, so this is very uplifting, very heartening to hear that you went through this. Now, this is a lot. This is like taking on a lot to really drive home the point that these conditions can be overcome. That maybe they're all caused by the same thing, or if the right trauma comes along, it can be unleashed. Now, are you doing anything in terms of, let's say, post-experiential exercise, like meditation or any activity to assist you in regaining all your motor skills and sort of keeping the body and the mind out of these traumatic events? Have you thought about that, or has it become something that you're doing? I don't mean obsessively, but let's say, for instance, if a doctor, you know, the doctor that treated you might have said, you know, what you might do is consider, you know, taking up swimming or taking up yoga or taking up some physical activity to assist you. Is there anything like that you're doing, or is this all just positive thinking?
Oh, no, I take a active role in what I put in my mouth to eat and how I keep my cells balanced. That's a whole nother topic, a whole nother night, a radio show about how to keep healthy, how to keep from getting sick, because it's funny that you mentioned that, because right after I made the commitment to move forward, boom, another life-threatening event occurred, and this time I got cancer-causing viruses in my liver and pancreas. And this time I had a year to find the cure for that, for cancer. And this time I trusted God that he, she would show me the way to cure myself. And I did. Now, I wasn't diagnosed with cancer, but I had cancer-causing viruses in my liver and my pancreas. That was a diagnostic I had confirmed. And I also had a very high SED rate. I did and there's no coincidences. Everything's supposed to happen for a reason. And I called that chapter in my book, Once is Not Enough. And this time, I had excruciating pain. I was sodium nitrite poisoned. And I had, everybody knows that's carcinogenic. And I was swelled up and I was in so much pain that at that time I did want to die. I said, to God, I could not go through this again, this pain. Here I had gotten rid of the pain the first time, and here I was all healthy, and here I get sick again, and this time it's cancer, and this time it was serious, because, you know, lupus, you can die of lupus and the others, but cancer, I had a year, and I set out this time, I said, I'm going to find the cure myself, and I did.
Okay,
well of that.
Okay, so you mentioned changing your diet. In other words, you're careful about that. That's important, and we talk about
extremely.
That on many of the shows that I do over the past year. I have regular guests that talk about the fallacies behind whether certain foods are good or bad for you, and what they promote, what they put into food, the additives to make it more attractive appearance-wise,
right,
or taste-wise. And these things are not natural substances for the most part. So that is something.
No
now,
soda.
Now, so did you slow down and engage in some kind of physical regimen to build up your health? Or did you just focus on your eating?
Up until I got the cancer-causing viruses, I really wasn't paying attention to the diet specifically. I didn't know any better. And then when I started researching to get well, the first thing that I came upon was why people are sick today. And I wrote a chapter called It's No Accident, Why Some People Do Not Get Sick. And then that was the first step of getting well. The second step, I bought a Rife machine, R-I-F-E, and killed some viruses, killed the viruses with that. And then I was still highly toxic from the sodium nitrite poisoning throughout my whole body, and I didn't know how to detoxify. And the viruses were dead, but my body was still puffed up and I was still in terrible pain. And that's when I found what I call the magic bullet, which is the ion cleanse machine, which brings back cell balance, takes out heavy metals from the body, brings back the body to alkalinity. And that's what really saved my life.
I see. Okay. Now, are you dependent on, again, I'm going to ask you that question, did you engage in any kind of physical activity? you're speaking about treatments here, but I'm thinking, you know, it's like the person that goes out and they ride a bike for 10 miles, or they go out walking or jogging or running, or, you know, engaging in some physical activity. They might take dance classes. Or did you do anything
I like to dance, but the last 2 years I was plugged down on that computer writing this book. And I wrote this book sometimes 12 hours a day, and I got yelled at for not moving, but I was so intent, so focused on getting this information out to people that I didn't put myself in jeopardy, but I didn't get out there like other people. I sat on the computer sometimes 12 hours. And I wouldn't get up. I was obsessed. I felt an urgency because so many people are so sick now. You know, every 71 seconds, somebody gets diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Every half hour, somebody gets a new case of multiple sclerosis is diagnosed. 6,000 people a day in Africa die of AIDS. This is serious. And I felt pressure. Not pressure, actually, but I felt I had to focus and get this information out. So the book took me 2 years. I wrote it as I went along. I had no idea how the book was going to end. I wrote it after, it was an ongoing thing. The book finally finished in January of this year. And it started in, I think December of 2006 when I sat down and started writing it. It actually took 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guilty as charged. I just sat at the computer most of the time. But I had a mission.
Okay, you were inspired.
But I did go out and dance.
And your motivation came
from. I did go out and walk. But
I'm sorry, we're talking over each other here. I was going to say, you were inspired and motivated. And that's, you were driven to write.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Now that it's written, are you engaging in any kind of physical activity? Are you able to do that?
Yes, I am. I walk, I garden, I dance.
Okay.
I don't really ride a bike anymore. Right. I'm active. Very active.
Okay. Yes, I'm kind of asking direct questions here, and the reason why is...
That's okay.
You know, I'm putting myself in the position of the listening audience. And I want them to get a feel for some of what you've been through. I mean, it's not like, okay, you went to the doctor, you got these treatments, you came home and you were a vegetable.
I wasn't.
Living, breathing person. You're a soul, and you're on a mission, and you're announcing to people that you don't have to accept things the way they are. You can change them through your intention, through the law of attraction, and with proper medical attention.
Correct. I did not go down a hall at a church and get healed. I actually had a medical treatment. I did not, the time I had cancer, I even used different apparatus, you know, or different machinery. I never did go to a healing. Even though I am a healer myself, I didn't use the energy to heal myself. I actually set out to find it, and I did.
Yeah, that's a dichotomy about healing, is that it's often easier to heal others than it is ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean it's impossible. It's sometimes we don't see the path as clearly for ourselves as we do for others, and it's putting the love and the caring for, you know, your fellow man or woman out there that causes one to experience more rapid results when you're healing another person. And sometimes your energy and just your focus can be really, really off center or out of focus when you're sick and you're trying to accomplish something with depleted energy and your body's not in alignment you know, the higher vibrations are not as accessible to you for your own, you know, for affecting your own healing. There's a lot to talk about this, and we're out of time, believe it or not. See how fast the hour goes. I would like to have you back, though, and talk more about this, because, you know, we get new listeners to the show all the time. But I would like to go into the issue of how you remove the toxicity, because there are different methods for doing that, and yours are valid, what you experienced and what you overcame. Certainly, those modalities work for you. And in fact, they were very successful, so they're worth talking about. Do you want to give your website out again and tell people how they can get a hold of your book?
Okay, my website is www.lindaemanuel.com. That's E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L. And my medical records are on my website, and articles about mild silver protein and other treatments for cancer. I'm not a doctor, not trying to prescribe treatments, but this is an informational website for people to learn. All kinds of articles on there. I have some videos coming up on the website about mycoplasma and the law of attraction. And what was the last question about?
Getting your book.
Excuse me.
It is on my book page. Yeah.
Okay. It can be purchased on Amazon.com, and that was my publisher, BookSurge, which is a subsidiary of Amazon.com.
Okay. Very good. And are there any specials, like if they want to order a whole box of these to pass around to their friends? Or
hey, I have somebody that bought 100 books, and they're selling them like hotcakes. But the person that's selling them was in the book. He's Dave in the book. And people have him autograph it, which I think is great. Everybody
yeah.
wants to meet me, but I think it's because they want phone numbers from the people in the book. Which is fine, you know.
Yeah, there are a lot of interesting characters in this book too, and it's well written. It's an easy read, and it's a very interesting, compelling story. And this is not fiction, folks. This is the real deal here. So I encourage anyone to read the book. I've read it, and I recommend it for anyone that wants to investigate the possibilities. Even if you're feeling well, this would be a good book to familiarize yourself because everyone knows someone else who's suffering from some affliction. And the story is very touching. It's even humorous at times and uplifting, definitely uplifting.
Yes.
So,
emotional roller coaster ride.
Oh, it is. It is. I want to thank you for being on the show, Linda, and we'll have you on again soon because I know there are many more things to talk about with the chemtrail spraying that's going on and all the madness in the food industry. What you have to share with the audience is important. There's someone out there that will get this message and it will resonate with them. And I know
that
your heart is in the right place. So thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Well, we'll have you back again soon. And with that, we're going to say goodnight to the audience. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And our special guest this evening, the author of The Messenger, There is Hope for the Future, Linda Emanuel, has been our special guest. We'll have her on in a future show. And I would also like to remind everyone to tune in tomorrow night. I have a very interesting show with Carl Perzon, an attorney who is going to have some really neat surprises for everyone, especially if you want to promote your services, what you do for a living, and you're interested in making a fair living. That's just scratching the surface as to what Carl will be talking about. He'll be with us tomorrow night. Michael Anthony on Thursday. And we also have Jim Murray on Friday. So you want to tune in to Evident Footprints. Special thanks to Don Newsom and Seth Hendrick on the sound. And with that, I say peace, love, and light. Everyone, have a good night.